Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Wednesday, the 24th day of August, 2011. After 42 years in power, Muammar Gaddafi has reportedly been driven from Tripoli, if we are to believe these new radio transmissions that he's been putting out. The al-Qaeda forces have officially entered under NATO protection into the government complexes, and the new civil war quagmire can begin. And Gaddafi is telling the different tribal groups around the country to begin attacking the quote new al-Qaeda government. And it is an al-Qaeda government. Just last night I was doing some more research on it and ran across more than 10 different mainstream news articles where they admit that this is al-Qaeda. That's the dominant group. And that Sharia law will now be put into effect, which should make a lot of the neocons and others very, very happy, because now they can have this clash of civilizations between the West and the, quote, extremist, which is the central banking cartel's plan. See, people tend to think of it as America versus the Muslims, or America versus the Chinese, or vice versa. Or, hey, Moody's downgraded Japan. Isn't that great? Their economy's falling apart. We'll do better. That's not how economies really work. This will only hurt the United States that Japan is slipping into a, well, it's been in a deep recession for 15 years, which you could call a depression, on the heels of a Fukushima disaster. So we tend to think of this as nation states, but really it's global special interests that are above the law, perching and sitting upon the nation states, playing us off against each other. So that is some of the news, some of the information that we are going to be going over and breaking down today. Now, obviously, we'll get more into U.S. East Coast may be at risk for aftershocks with yesterday's 5.9. It was a 5.8, upgraded to a 5.9. Also, a strong East Coast quake, highly unusual. Seismologists and other scientists that study earthquakes and other geological activities have said cracks discovered in the Washington Monument, a nuclear plant near epicenter, of course, shut down yesterday as a precaution. Problem is, if there's a real disaster, the government has a history of covering that up, so we don't know. Also, witnesses saw D.C. buildings shake during 5.9 earthquake that affected eight different states and was felt all the way into Canada. So that is also coming up today. And on the Libya front, there's lots of hype now about Gaddafi and rebels in hiding. And will they release a dirty bomb on us now? And can Homeland Security eradicate all of our rights to keep us safe for the bankers to rape us? Had a Freudian slip. Keep us safe from al-Qaeda, who is Gaddafi, but he's actually not al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda's the new government, but what are you going to do at the end of the day? So that is some of the news I'll be breaking down on that front. Some interesting news. Ron Paul picks up steam despite minimal media coverage. KHOU television is covering that here in Texas. So he is winning more and more of the polls, or in a dead heat with Mitt Romney, Rick Perry, and Michelle Bachmann. That's why the system's still ignoring him. He still gets the least amount of coverage of any of the candidates. Even candidates that don't even show up 5 percentage points in the polls get lavish with 2, 3, 4 times the coverage that Ron Paul gets. So we're going to be going over that and wide open phones throughout the broadcast for 30 minutes in the third hour. We're going to travel to Kentucky with a guest to look at the takeover by the banks of that state. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, I'm going to run through the top stories here today, and then we're going to take a lot of your phone calls. Because again, when I listen to rebroadcast, I always enjoy the calls, the different news items you bring up, the different directions you take us in. It's like spinning a wheel of fortune. The questions, the comments, people that disagree, people that agree. I certainly enjoy it and find it to be informative and edifying to the max. So I'm going to be giving the toll-free number out here in a few minutes after I have gone over some of the news. Then coming up for about 30 minutes for part of the third hour, Gatewood Galbraith, a perennial candidate and well-known political activist across the country based in Kentucky, is going to be coming on to discuss this news article out of Alternet, how J.P. Morgan took over all of Kentucky's financial services and why you should be scared. And it just shows the complete and total financial domination of this country. So he'll be joining us coming up. And I have other little interesting tidbits of news. The foreign ownership of our media is accelerating. Carlos Slim increases his stake in New York Times. Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim has increased his stake in the New York Times company just weeks after the U.S. newspaper group repaid the emergency $250 million loan it took from Mr. Slim in 2009. And he's now upped his stake from 6.9% to 7.3%. That's out of the Financial Times of London. Mr. Slim, who made his money with a telecommunications monopoly in Mexico and other ways. So interesting to see that going on. But, I mean, what's it matter if a monopolist baron out of Mexico is buying larger stakes, or if the Saudis own the largest percentages of Fox News Corp? I mean, at the end of the day, U.S. taxpayer money has been reportedly pumped into MSNBC, you name it. It's all just a bunch of propaganda. And that's why the establishment is so secure in their takeover of this country and the rest of the world, because they get away with bloody murder. Now, I want to get into the financial news, the big developments in Libya, the earthquake news, and more. But first, this morning it hit me, and it hits me all the time, but it really hit me that we've gone over the edge. We're not on the edge, we're over the edge. When it comes to historical corruption and tyranny, really, really blooming, really growing. This country is just overrun by corrupt individuals carrying out corrupt practices. Our economy is more and more converting from a free market, free society to a crony, insider, monopoly system. And that can only happen because we have several generations of very spoiled people, very entitled people, who are so self-centered that even as they lose their productivity, their future, and their standard of living, they still don't want to get up and get involved and take their country back. Those that are politically involved are somewhat awake across the spectrum, but they really don't get the finer details. And they also miss the larger backdrop of mega banks, powerful families, insiders, huge combines that have a decidedly anti-human, anti-family, anti-free market, really hyper-authoritarian mindset. And I've talked a lot about this. If you've studied history, you know that dictators, corrupt oligarchies, endless wars, torture, secret arrest, power-tripping ruling classes, demanding your daughters service them, going into farming belts and massacring everybody. Powerful elites, when they're not opposed, run rampant because it's their nature. They like overrunning. They like burning cities. They like wars. They don't like commerce. They use monopoly commerce to destroy real commerce. It's a scorched earth mindset, a spirit of total monopoly that sees any form of independence, strength, or beauty as its enemy. And in the final equation, that's why I am fearless. That's why I am willing to sacrifice my time, my energy, my name in this fight. I know that the road I'm on does not lead to a very happy place individually. But history also shows that when things start to get dark, when things start to get really bad, that's when the best in humanity shines. And that if we counter the deceptive narrative of the globalist and their false global, economic, political, spiritual paradigm, that we can trailblaze and really give the population an alternative to the globalist model. And we are in a race. We are in a race for our very existence, our very future. I don't want to say that I'm depressed. I'm not depressed. I'm more chastened or chilled. I don't mean chilled in a relaxed way, sitting back in an easy chair, drinking a Dos Equis like Mr. Tough Guy. I mean chilled to the bone with the realization that history's roadmap has served us well, and that my analysis, Ron Paul's prognosis, other historians' view and assessment of our situation was absolutely on target, except in one facet. We tend to underestimate evil. We tend to underestimate avarice and greed and hatred and corruption. It is the great plenty. It is the prosperity that liberty generated, that freedom generated, that triggered the corrupt power elite and the robber barons to focus their energies on the United States to then overtake it and use that wealth and prowess to take over the world while at the same time destroying our republic from the inside. And it is because there's still so much food on the table and so much entertainment that even as the oxygen is taken out of the room, even as our society rots and the roads fall apart and the police are laid off and the taxes go up, and as the borders are opened and as the illegals are legalized, as the country rots into the ground, it does it incrementally so that still the average person can't recognize it. People are starting to see it, starting to smell it. But if the general public could know what I know, or could know what Ron Paul knows, or what other people who've studied common sense and history know, people would be repenting. And by repenting, even if you're not a Christian, I mean repenting, saying I'm angry at myself for not doing more, for not being informed, for being lazy, for valuing things that don't really have value, and not appreciating things that really are the heart of civilization, the heart of freedom. Bondage is a horrible thing. The humiliation of not being a free man and not controlling your own destiny is 1,000 deaths. A person of courage only dies one death, but a coward, a slave, dies thousands of deaths. And I see the excesses and the wanton prosecution of tyranny against every form of goodness, and the religious fervor with which the system destroys the republic, destroys the Bill of Rights, destroys the Constitution. I am watching our shields fall, the hedge fall. I'm watching what our forebears built, a system to protect the individual and to protect basic freedom. I am watching it burn up before my eyes like a city on fire, collapse daily. Things that the globalists would only attack from the side with a glancing blow, things that they would only chew at on the edges for decades, they are now just wrecking balls to the War Powers Act, wrecking balls, the power of the purse, wrecking balls to Congress with the Super Congress, wrecking balls to the Second Amendment, wrecking balls to sovereignty and the border. I mean, they are just, it is all being destroyed right now. Any way you look at it, we now have a dictatorship of the executive branch in this country. The republic has truly fallen. Muammar Gaddafi is vowing to fight for years, and it's buried all over the even mainstream media that the main rebel force is real al-Qaeda, that these are rebels that fought U.S. forces in Iraq, and that they are now to be given control of the government of Libya. And undoubtedly now they will let these groups attack the United States and then simply take more of our liberties. See, that's the masterpiece that is staged terror. But don't forget what CNN and Fox News are both reporting. First responders decry exclusion from 9/11 ceremony. They are not allowed to be there. The government says, well, we're going to try to recognize you, but you're not allowed into Ground Zero. Only the politicians are. Why is that? Well, it's because most of these responders are mad about the fact that they have been denied health care for 9+ years. And when they finally were authorized to get it, they have to go through Homeland Security every time they access health care to, quote, check them to make sure they're not terrorists. And all over the country, in many different types of jobs now, including union jobs, you have to get Homeland Security authorization before you can have that job. And I'm talking about janitorial jobs, street sweeping jobs. See, the war on terror is about making us all prisoners who've got to get government permission, even if you've never committed a crime, to buy a gun, to have a job, to travel. That's the essence of an internal checkpoint in an authoritarian system. But it's all done to fight the terrorist. And then meanwhile, real al-Qaeda for 6 years has been attacking the Iranians in staged terror attacks in their country to undermine that government. And our own supposed government admits it. And then they're used against the Serbs, they're used against the Russians, they're used against Gaddafi. As I've told you, Osama bin Laden was CIA created and trained. 9/11 was a staged event. The official story is a fraud, and 9/11 has been used to burn our republic to the ground. We're now just basically more real estate. If we don't have that Bill of Rights, if we don't have that Constitution, then we're just more dirt. Like North Korea or Mexico or Russia or China. Joe Biden yesterday said he totally understands China's one-child policy and doesn't have a problem with it. I bet he doesn't have a problem with it. It was the United States went over there and signed an agreement to industrialize China and to sign tax deals to ship our jobs there in the mid-1970s. You've seen the results of that. If China would reduce their population, that's how important it is to the globalists to kill people. This is a command and control system meant to level society, meant to bring us back to the Stone Age, while the elites behind their national security cordons enjoy the advanced technologies that our tax money has financed the development of. You know, until just about 3 years ago, all over the world, it was in basic medical handbooks not to give a pregnant woman vaccines. Now, they tell them vaccinate pregnant women first and often. Causes all sorts of neurological disorders, brain damage in the baby. That's admitted. I've got an article by a medical doctor today, Dr. Mark Circus. Vaccine assault on children by world government. And it goes through the fact that they go into areas with debilitated and already sick children who they know are sick and inject them knowing it's going to absolutely devastate them. All over the world, I see articles coming out every week now where they give people more shots filled with sterilants, filled with live viruses, polio with live virus. And I just sit here and watch the scientific dictatorship spiking our food, spiking our water, spiking our air, admitting they're chemtrailing us now. And they just sit there and you watch the addled, brain-damaged population squirming and flopping around. And I watch the globalists like a cat playing with a mouse, just torturing humanity and getting away with it and just stealing and robbing. And it's got to come to an end. Humanity must awaken. All right, I'll get to the news and your calls on the other side. Stay with us.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
We are back live. We're going to have open phones and a ton of news now that I've had a few segments to pontificate about the fact that an effective dictatorship of the bureaucracy itself financed and peopled by members of the Fortune 100 that control government via the revolving door and, of course, their political contributions. But that's a small part of it. It's the payoffs by hiring politicians and generals once they get out of government and then go back into government. It's the payoffs by hiring their wives and their children. I mean, this is a system where big corporations can come in, pay government off, and government will openly let them write the regulations to shut down their competition. It is the essence of true discrimination. But notice people only think about discrimination in terms of what color someone is. Now, the toll-free number to join us on any of the news items we've raised is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Getting briefly back to the first responders being barred from the 10th anniversary, that's not a joke. I was on Mancal Muller's syndicated radio show today, as I am every Wednesday as a guest, 15 minutes or so, and I brought this up to him, and he didn't believe it at first, and then his producers were able to pull up Associated Press, New York Times, CNN, that indeed they're not allowed in Ground Zero with the thousands of people. Only the politicians and corporate chiefs are allowed there to talk about the heroes of 9/11 and sell giving up our liberties because the first responders want us to give up our freedoms. But they're not allowed to be there because most of them don't buy the official story. The vast majority, I've met hundreds of them. Again, I would go down there 5-6 years ago and would get flipped off some, would get yelled at by some of the firemen, some of the police who were there for the memorial. Some of them, a lot of them shook my hand, patted me on the back, and gave us interviews. We've interviewed quite a few police officers, firefighters, medics, and others. The last time I was there, wow, it's now 3 years ago. I haven't been back in 3 years, or is it? Yeah, it'll be 3 years this year. I couldn't walk down the street. I mean, it was commanders and captains and firefighters and police. Now, there were a few Marines. One guy was leading a horse. He was part of a parade. He flipped us off. We have video of that and posted on the web. And later we ran into him in a restaurant. And of course, he wasn't there on 9/11. But, you know, he flipped us off and thought that was real tough, that we were out there saying 9/11 was an inside job. But you're there saying 9/11 is an inside job, and thousands of police and military and firefighters are going by, and they're going, "We appreciate you, Alex. Yes, sir. We know. Good job. Good job." I'm like, you want to talk on camera? No. Just, I mean, it was like the head honchos were out there, firemen and police. You know, the guys, the commanders were, "Alex, we appreciate you." And then, but again, those were people who were there officially because they were people that responded that day. I could go around the corner and protest and have, you know, Port Authority cops come over and get in our face and act like gangster thugs. But, I mean, I've interviewed the police officers on this show who were there and heard the countdown to blow up Building 7. But I don't need to have them on as a guest. I heard it on the radio. They're going to blow up Building 7. We've played the clips. They're going to blow up Building 7. Police saying, "Get back." They're blowing it up. Again, are my lying eyes lying? No, they're not. So why won't the firemen and police and medical people, the real heroes of 9/11, who did respond, many of which died, many of which were injured, why can't they be there? Because they can't be trusted, ladies and gentlemen. They know they were lied to about the dust, the asbestos. Their treatment was blocked. Now they've got to be put through a terrorist database. Firemen and police officers that I've interviewed on this show get men in suits showing up at their house threatening them. They get set up. They get robbed. They get beat up. Do you know how much surveillance they're under? They know about the bombs. They know about the molten metal. They're not allowed in there. In fact, I want to tell my producers now, I want to go back over and see who Luke recommends because he keeps a tally and knows all these great men and women. We need to, like, as we lead up to 9/11, now only a week and a half away, that tragic event 10 years later, we need to go back over all those police officers, firefighters, emergency responders, military people who we've had on who saw the bombs going off, heard the bombs, heard the Fed say we're going to blow up Building 7. We need to get them on the show. A lot of them we've gotten on, and then I call back a year later and they go, "I've just had too many threats. Man, they've been breaking in my house. They've been threatening me. They said they're going to kill my wife. I'm done. This country's done. If I had money, I'd leave the country. I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, I'm not coming on your show." I mean, you're on the phone with a cop, you know, who's got full disability and was injured, and people that have had their legs cut off and stuff. I mean, I've interviewed these people. And you're on the phone with them, and they're under surveillance and harassment. Because, I mean, this is what goes on in America. And people say, "Well, then why are you alive?" They'll take over Libya. They'll kill their former asset, Saddam. They will kill JFK, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy. Why aren't you dead? And believe me, I ask that question a lot. And at the end of the day, I think it's people praying for me. I know it is. And it's also from the establishment's position, they don't want to underline, highlight, put 10 exclamation points behind everything I've said and done. I've been doing this for 16 plus years and came from total obscurity and have had a slow burn and now reach millions and millions of people every day. And I think they've made the calculation that if they kill me, it could turn me into a martyr. And they've tried to set me up and they've tried to throw the women at me and they've tried to infiltrate my office and they've sent cops up and, you know, hey, let's do something violent. I mean, I've been through all that. And by the grace of God, I'm still here. But it is creepy and it's sad because if we had a real free market and a fairer system where we strive for innovation, where we strive against corruption, where we strive to have an open and free and healthy society, where goodness is honored, we have a much better world that way. Doesn't mean it's perfect, but we strive towards that. Instead, the corruption's so bad, a lot of people just have the attitude of there's nothing you can do, just let it run wild. Well, when you have that attitude, nothing is held back, and you get an absolute race to the bottom. I mean, I was thinking this morning about everything our so-called government does to destroy this country. Tax incentives to move overseas, bailout money to the auto industry to move to South America, China, and Eastern Europe. $1 billion+ per fact, paying to move it. I mean, that is so over the top. It's so over the top to say no first responders are allowed at ground zero. I mean, it's gigantic. You could fit 50,000 people in there. They bring thousands of them in every year. The problem is that I've been there, and I've been invited in, by the way, by first responders who were allowed to bring a few friends in, and I've said no, because in one case, my sixth sense said, don't do it. It might be a setup, but I've seen the video shot by Luke and others who've gotten in because they're with victims, family members, and others, and it is politicians getting their arms grabbed going, I know you blew it up. You know, we know it's an inside job. And firemen saying, we know what you did. I mean, they are scared of the cops and the firefighters. And they should be. The firefighters know all about fire. They know those buildings were blown up. They were all told they were blown up that day. For 5 weeks, there was molten lava under the buildings from jet fuel that doesn't burn half that hot. They use super weapons on that baby. And I wish every day this wasn't true. This is not fun. I didn't ever imagine I would get in this position in the fight against tyranny. I was just going to be a guy on Access TV, and then they called up and said, hey, you want a local radio show? You're good on Access TV. And then here I am all these years later, and I have this incredible responsibility, and I wish it wasn't true. I wish I could lie to myself and say this wasn't real. But don't you understand, folks, we don't have any future. I mean, if I would have sold out a decade ago and 7 years ago when I got big establishment offers, oh, you'll end up having a TV show, book deals, everything else. I don't even call when big publishers call now offering me national book deals. I don't even have enjoyment when famous people call me up anymore. There's no ego. There's no, oh, it's fun to be a radio talk show host. It's all now just the duty to research this horrible stuff and then to present it to you. I mean, it's like you're driving by and you see a horrible car wreck and see people getting thrown out of the car, and it's not fun. It's your duty to pull over and render them aid, and you walk over and the woman's got her neck chopped open and blood squirting out, and another guy's got his nose torn off, and they're begging for help, and you know, you put pressure on their neck for them. I'll never forget the two really bad car wrecks I saw where I helped people. The smell of blood and the smell of fear and humanity dragging itself along the ground. I'm so sad when I look at the public and see how weak they are and how weak their eyes are, how soulless they become. And I know they're being poisoned. I know that's why. I can't even get mad at them and say, look, idiot, wake up, because they were set in front of a television from birth and they were drugged and poisoned the whole time. And they're like zombies who just giggle at you. They've been chemically lobotomized. They're like people in a mental institution. And they look at someone who is hyper-aware, hyper-involved, hyper-researched, and they see me as the bad man. And I know why they see me as the bad man. I understand it. It's so over the top to use Al-Qaeda to kick out Gaddafi. It's so over the top to take the veterans' death benefits and now announce they're going to cut half their pensions. And they'll get the other half, too. It's so over the top to have Obama legalize all the illegals that were about to be deported and say, that's it, you're all legal from now on. It's so hardcore to give $16 trillion and then $1.5 trillion and another $8 trillion, another $4 trillion to foreign banks and U.S. newspapers and Rachel Maddow and MSNBC, direct taxpayer money. I mean, that is so hardcore. It is so hardcore to know that they gave over 100 million Americans knowingly. This is declassified. U.S. government, you can pull up, U.S. government admits over 100 million Americans got cancer from polio vaccine. And then in the reports, they just talk about it like they're talking about the price of tires or something, or you know, something in the green sheets. It's like, well, yes, over 100 million did get cancers and died from it. And then you cut to some CBC TV piece where they interview the vaccine doctor who developed it, and he just goes, yeah, millions died. Your mama, your daddy. I mean, they killed them. They're killing us. And it's funny. It's cute. It's like their ego. They get off on spiking the factor VIII with HIV and hepatitis knowingly and shipping it out. These UN doctors get off on giving African kids vaccines that sterilize them and brain damage them and give them HIV. And it's just fun. And it just goes on and on and on and on, evil upon evil upon evil. And I know why they haven't killed me yet. They don't want to spook people. They are poisoning and killing and microwaving us with the cell phones and spiking the water with uranium and radium and everything else, and they are just enjoying themselves. This is like a long 50-course meal that never ends for these psychopaths, and it's so beautiful for them. It feels so good to know how many children are throwing up and dying under chemotherapy right now with their hair falling out and the light going out of their eyes. It's so wonderful for them and so beautiful to them that they don't want to spook anybody. It's like I'm a little spike buck coming out in the edge of the field following the doe. I'm a yearling. And I'm coming out with my little horns, my little antlers, and they've got me right there in their sights. And they go, no, no, don't spook anybody. You kill him, that'll only give him credibility. This guy's too on target. Let him go on to the feeder and then go on into the woods, because I know there's a big 20 point. There's a big wall hanger, because I've checked where he's rubbing over there. I've checked where he's bedding down. He's in there, and he's watching. And then sure enough, that little spike goes into the woods, and they've got America, your family, every one of you. You're the big prize. They got you right in their sight. And they're just lovingly just squeezing that trigger. They just breathe out, and they just, okay, sodium fluoride, cancer viruses, GMO, every one of them designed to sterilize people. Let me do this. Okay, let me. Oh. Oh, yeah. And they just pull the trigger and kill the Republic. They want to take their time gutting you and your family. They think they've won, ladies and gentlemen. They think they've won. And they're getting all their little pieces in place. And I've got a message to the servants of this system. I've got a message to you right now. I've got a question I want to ask you. That's the message. A lot of you are not psychopaths. A lot of you are sociopaths. And you're doing what you're doing for power and status. And at a subconscious level, you feel like you're on the winning team. I'm talking about corporate chiefs, bureaucrats, assassination teams, special forces, police, all of you. You need to understand, you didn't sign on like Enos or Roscoe Pico Train to Boss Hogg's operation where you just get to shake people down and live in a bigger house and it's fun. You signed on with Satan. And even if you don't believe in Satan, this might as well be it. It's as evil as you can imagine and more. You've signed on to something that is going to destroy you and your family. And a lot of you that serve evil are going to be hurt by the very system you're bringing in. You've still got humanity in you. You need to join those of us that love life.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We are fighting the worldwide eugenics dictatorship. This is an emergency transmission, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., back Sundays 4 to 6. This is not entertainment. This is not radio. This is not a swollen, egotistical, preening, peacock, leftist, or mainline conservative radio host. This is someone who has faced the real reality and who has studied the globalist's own battle plans that are public. All you have to do is have the courage to face their battle plan. A good place to start is Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement, free on YouTube and Google Video. You say you've seen it. Good. Get the link. Get it out to people. Get the DVD. Make copies. This isn't a game. This isn't a game. The globalists have taken the planet over, and they don't want this many people. The fiat money is like chips that, you know, people play make-believe poker with, or Monopoly money. The globalists have to run this whole fake economy just for us, and they're sick of it. They don't like it. They took the planet over. They see it as theirs. They believe in survival of the fittest, social Darwinism, and so they're addling everyone with drugs and chemicals to dumb you down and build a control grid to outright slaughter our butts. Have you studied what the Soviets, the Nazis, the Romans, the Israelites, what every culture, what the Aztecs did to their neighbors? They killed everybody. This is standard procedure. And they kill you with these soft kill weapons. All right, I'm going to go to Carl, Danny, Tony, Alan, Seth. I'll get to all the news at the bottom of the next hour because I want to take a lot of calls. Carl in California, thanks for holding her on the air.
Alex, good morning. I apologize what happened the other day. My battery on my phone died.
That's all right. You're on air, brother. Go ahead.
All right. Brother, I have so many things to talk to you about. I know I only have about a minute, but I could talk to you for 2 hours on so many subjects. But I just want to tell you about my little stepmom here in Southern California. She's wonderful. She's 92 years of age, and she listens religiously to you. There's a radio station that we have here. They don't air your show until 2 in the morning. They used to have you on during the day. They only let you on for 1 hour, and then they cut you off.
What station is that?
It's radio station. Can I tell you the call letter?
Yeah, of course you can.
KCAA AM 1050.
Oh, yeah.
They leave no listeners behind.
Yeah.
Anyway, brother, I just wanted to let you know about her. She's wonderful. She told me about all what you're seeing 30 years ago.
Absolutely. There were a lot of people knew what was going on 30 years ago.
And I didn't believe her. I said, well, maybe she's, getting up in years and, you know, she's getting kind of paranoid. And it took me 20 plus years to realize, you know what? I mean, she's wise, you know, beyond description. Anyway, I'm 47. I'm about 10 years older than you, but you are, you know, you're just miles ahead of me on knowledge and so on and so forth.
Oh, no, I'm not. Believe me, sir, just like your mother knew this decades ago, 30 years ago, all you've got to do is go read what they say about us. I mean, it's all a big joke to them, and that's why they operate out in the open. And what concerns me is that they're accelerating everything now. They're getting more and more wild, more and more out in the open. And I just wonder what's coming next. I mean, legalizing all the illegals, not even an issue. Republicans aren't even talking about it. Wars without congressional approval, super congresses, carbon taxes. I mean, it's just crazy. God bless you and your mother. We're going to come back now. Good to hear from you. Yeah, we've been on KCAA for like, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years. I know they've got us on at all different times. Just call them, tell them to pick the show up more. All right, we'll be right back with more of your calls.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, I've been preaching in the last hour, but now we're going to your calls intensely for the next 30 minutes. Then I'm getting into the latest on Tripoli, the earthquake yesterday, the economy, reports of millions of unseen species fill the earth. We're going to be breaking all of that down coming up. But right now, Danny in Arkansas, thanks for holding her on the air.
Hey, Alex, I was just wondering if you know about the executive order that Bush signed back September 23rd of 2001 is Executive Order 13224. You're talking about how the first responders at 9/11 had to go to the Patriot database to get medical care. Well, since that executive order was signed, anybody who buys or sells property or gets a mortgage in the United States has to go to the Patriot database.
Well, that's right, the Patriot Act system. And when you rent a car, they run it through it. Everybody's turned into a little indentured servant Stasi agent, and it's really know your customer. But then Wachovia and Wells Fargo can launder $376 billion, and they don't get in trouble. It's a complete joke.
Yep, it's disgusting.
Well, that's a good point that you raise, but they're now running, again, the first responders through the Patriot Act terror database before they can get health care. But then Al-Qaeda is being handed Tripoli. What do you think of that?
I think it's just par for the course for what they're wanting to do to the rest of America and the entire world.
Do you agree with me that that it's horrifying to think, what are they going to do next? Super Congresses, amnesties, carbon taxes. Yeah, you're going to have rolling blackouts and increased power prices. Yeah, we don't need laws. Who needs I mean, do you agree that more and more this is a dictatorship?
Absolutely. It's been a dictatorship for quite a while since they got rid of JFK. We've been under a dictatorship.
You know, I think you're right. And now they're just really coming out in the open with it because they're getting us ready for the total depression.
Yep. Thanks, Alex. You keep up the good work.
Thank you, Danny. I'll try. It's so creepy. There's been a quasi-dictatorship since Kennedy was killed, but now they're really putting it in place. It's kind of like they had the car started before, but now they've got it rolling down the street and they're picking up speed. Let's talk to Tony in Washington, then Alan in Denmark and others. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for what you're doing. This is First Sergeant, and I'm preparing my retirement papers right now. Otherwise, I wouldn't be calling you. I got to call Pechenevic out on the carpet, okay? Number one is there's a lot of us who would like to have a published list of Bilderberg and some others. Number two, Pechenevic, the reason why he's clamoring to talk about all this is because he's one of the ones who devised all these plans that are being utilized on us. And he's very well aware of that. He's just a weird animal. It's like you got to have him, but you got to hate him too.
Well, going back, we have published this year and several years back the Bilderberg attendee list. At first was leaked to the media, and then it always gets leaked, so then they get mad and then publish it on their own website, and then they run a psyop saying, look, we published it. Don't say it was secret. But no, going back about a decade ago, people would leak it from inside to Jim Tucker, then they would get mad and started setting up their own website. So Bilderberg has a website, and you can now read the attendee list. We've, again, a decade or so ago, it didn't exist. Now they admit it exists, but just keep it secret.
Well, yeah, I understand that. It's just the list is always expanding, and it'd be nice to put a little more spotlight personally on these people. The other thing is, if he is such a patriot, and believe me, I know some of the people that are in that whole system, you know, soft target, long distance acquisition, I'm very familiar, okay? Then if he's such a patriot and he has all these colleagues, then how come we aren't taking care of business here?
Well, look, I'm a news broadcast, and I mean, I think to ask somebody why they're not taking out corrupt people, I'm going to break that down when we come back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are live into hour number two. I'm Alex Jones, your host. It is Wednesday, the 24th day of August 2011. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, I am going to blitz through a bunch of news. We've also got some other breaking news on the economy we're going to be following. I want to go to Alan in Denmark, Seth in California, Bill and many others here in just a moment. But we had a caller in the last segment, if you missed it, who said, hey, if somebody like Dr. Steve Pachinik, who was in black ops all over the world and wrote psychological warfare manuals for the State Department, if he's saying our government's so bad, why aren't, you know, people like Pachinik dealing with problems here at home? This is a news broadcast. I don't get into talk about taking this person out or taking that person out. This is a corrupt system, and I liken it to shark teeth. If all of the leadership of the New World Order disappeared and was put on a deserted island right now, or like in Superman were, you know, put into a pane of glass and ejected into deep space from the planet Krypton, it is our individual laziness and our individual corruption to not be involved, to not be informed, that we would instantly end up in just as bad a position, perhaps even worse. See, the globalists are able to run things because they don't care if things get worse. In fact, they like it. As long as they control the resources and the police, they love the new civil war that's going to last years. Even the State Department, even the British Foreign Service is saying, yeah, this is going to last years. They might kill Gaddafi today or tomorrow, but this is going to go on for years. That's good. An industrialized country, the hub of Africa, destroyed. Western forces just guard the oil fields and the refineries and shut down that waterway they had to get water to Africa. You're not going to get that stuff for free. You're going to pay. And that makes all of their assets go up in value. When you burn down somebody's country, from the globalist perspective, that makes your value go up. Then you come in and loan them fiat money. Why do they accept your fiat money? Because you got a military backing it up. Because you bought that military in that country with your Ponzi scheme. See, real Ponzi scheme operators don't go to prison like Madoff. They take over. They rule. They lecture us on we shouldn't be able to have, you know, take a shower or have more than one change of clothes for the earth. But then they're living in 25 palaces and giant yachts the size of destroyers and dozens of, you know, wide body aircraft and five, six, seven kids while lecturing us. And they didn't make their money through free market. They stole every stinking cent of it and shut their competition down. And now they want everything. They don't want you growing your own crops and selling it to your neighbor, or producing your own eggs and selling it, or having lemonade stands. That's all over. The whole police state apparatus is here to revenue generate and to shut down the underground economy. That's the essence of an occupied country. When you're living in an occupied nation, when you're living in the most occupied type of country, you aren't allowed to do diddly squat. We have to have an awakening to the culture of liberty, rediscover it, and then just stop complying. And we have to support candidates who will run, who will educate people, even if they don't win the first three or four times. We have to expose the electronic voting machines. We have to defend the Second Amendment. We have to expose the globalists, because if they can blame puppets, you know, they love the fact that Obama has the lowest approval rating in history of any president 2.5 years into an administration. And Obama is meant to go sit there at Martha's Vineyard and enrage everyone. He's meant, like a shield, to take all the hits. And when the globalists are done, they're going to throw him down and pick up another puppet, a Sarah Palin, a Mitt Romney, a Rick Perry. That's why they love all the other little shills, because they're just armor. They're just a distraction. They're just a front for the New World Order. That's why they ignore, or if they're forced to talk about him, demonize Ron Paul and talk to you like you've got a IQ below room temperature. And say, he cannot win. But wait, he keeps winning most of the polls. Shut up. We said. We told you. And people less and less buy into that when they talk to you like you're 2 years old. You're like, you know what? I'm not 2 years old. I see what you're doing. And they're like, really? Maybe we need to just shut down the alternative media. Maybe you Tea Party people are terrorists. Hmm? You see this Homeland Security system? Shut up and do what we say. Give us your pension funds, or we might have to arrest you for terrorism. And they openly smile and put out White House memos saying how great terror attacks would be. They mean to be out in the open now and come within one micron of admitting they're staging terror. They don't care if you know Al-Qaeda is globalist run and being given Libya. They don't care if you know the first responders are barred from the 10th anniversary. They don't care if you know they're openly getting ready to take at least half the pension funds of the military. That they're announcing it and how great it is. They don't care. They like it. They're offshore in armored fortresses. They want you to blow stuff up and run around crazy and start killing cops. That's the terrorism they're talking about. It's like throwing two Chinese fighting fish in a tank and watching them kill each other. They sit there and play these games with us. The globalists are a third party sitting back. All right, I'm going to shut up. But there's your answer. Look, I'm only for violence in defense. And I will defend myself. And I hope it doesn't come to that, because I don't want to play along with their game. I'd rather police and military grow up, study a little bit of history and look at what's happening in this country and really, really join humanity. But, you know, they're not the bad ones. It's the corporate whores. It's the politicians. It's all these oily, mile wide, inch deep, all hat, no cattle type people who are completely shallow, completely worldly, and just prance around from party to party and enjoy being given awards and enjoy golfing with their buddies and acting tough. And they are the end result of a decadent society. They're that scum that rises up right before all the fish in the pond die. And they are the first that are going to run around like a chicken with their head cut off when their world ends. You know, at least mercenaries and police have to live in the dirt and see the crime and see what's happening to humanity and have to live in the real world. These bureaucrats and these politicians, these whores, they just sit up there in their little ivory towers all day playing with our lives like it's their little toy, to use the words of Bob Dylan. And I'm tired of it. I want my freedom, Jack, and I want it right now. And I want you out of my life. I want you to stop sucking off me. I'm going to do my best to identify who did all this and let the people do the rest. Because if they can't divert us with Obama or the fake Republicans, if they can't make us think that those little puppets are actually the people running it, then they're going to get the blame. The people that deserve to get the blame can't operate if they get the blame. They've got to run under stealth with their little front men and their little operatives out there, or their power is over. Wizard of Oz. It's an analogy, a book, a play written during currency manipulations. It was turned into a movie. And who's the little man behind the curtain with the big projection of the big mean face and fire shooting up? That's the banksters. They want you to think Homeland Security is the big scary face. It's meant to scare thinking people. It's a message to those that can think, yeah, we're a tyranny. Better shut up. But for the dumbed down, it's a message to them to just accept it. They're like a trained domesticated cow that just walks right into the slaughterhouse. There's a giant meat grinder and the government saying, that's your mommy, walk in, we love you. Out in the open free field, they're saying, Al-Qaeda's out there, you don't want to be out there. Go right into those meat grinders. And the cows are running into it. And then they've got those of us that are awake and are just going, my gosh, this is Roman Empire, Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, Pol Pot, all rolled into one with a high-tech science fiction overlay. And we're like, mayday, 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 the ship's on fire. We got to get the Republic back. And the system's like, oh, you think you're in a tyranny? We'll just legalize all the illegals. Look, Jones, nobody cares. They all totally legalize now. We're going to just restrict the Second Amendment without laws. We're going to start shutting your power plants down without laws. China gets three a week. You get, you know, a couple a year of new ones. We're shutting down hundreds a year. Oh, we're not going to have the first responders at the event. Oh, we're putting cancer viruses in the vaccines. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to tell you, you can't have a hot bath because it's bad for the environment, but we're going to fly around in our own private jets all day. Yeah, we're going to tell the public that carbon dioxide that plants breathe is evil. Yeah, we're going to do that. And they're just looking at us going, yeah, we're crooks. Uh-huh. Did you see all these White House memos about how great stage terror is? Oh, these three memos aren't enough? Here's two more right here. That's like Gary Hart writing that public letter and saying the U.S. government stages terror attacks. And don't think we won't do it again. I mean, they're just like, that's what it is. So drink your water, take your shots, eat your GMO. And we're like, but, and you tell their enforcers, hey, this system's destroying you as well. They're like, hey, I got a black uniform. I'm feeling powerful right now. But we're like, I know, but you're not going to listen, are you? And they're like, no, we're not. They just walk right off the cliff in front of you. Just they're under hypnotism. By the way, our report about police confiscating cameras is up on Drudge Report right now on the right-hand side. We'll cover that when we get to the news. I know I've been preaching a lot today. I don't know if the general public realizes what going into hardcore tyranny is like. Yeah, there's the headline. Cops confiscate cameras at Ohio Congressman's town hall. Kurt Nemo. Just amazing. It's just everywhere. They're just going after everybody's basic liberties. Public events, grabbing cameras. Man, why don't the police say no more? I guess they did out in Quartzsite and they all got fired. All right, let's just go to your calls. Alan in Denmark, and then Seth, Sean, Bill, Marcus, and others. Go ahead, Alan. Welcome.
Hello, Alexander the Great.
Please don't call me that. What's on your mind today, sir?
Why not? You are our conqueror. My point is, I would like to talk about Greenland. In 2008, Greenland became independent. That would be like if Hawaii became independent. But my point is, do you think that the world oil has plans for oil, like in Alaska, or is it about the Thule base, or what do you think?
Well, a lot of times when countries are, quote, given their independence, it's really just because they're being handed over directly to a corporate interest. And I don't know enough about that with Greenland, but I am aware of it. And there is reportedly going to be some expanded exploration into Alaska and other areas, because the cartel cannot have a pure monopoly, because Russia isn't playing ball and is exploring a lot of oil in their country. And so, as you know, Scotland, some of the other Scandinavian countries east of there are going ahead and developing those different operations. And that's a good thing, or we would really see higher power prices from what we see now. But the globalists are trying their best to shut down as much exploration as they can.
Okay, but it's just because of the tool base that has been built in 1951, and now it's part of the Air Force Base Command. I was just wondering if they're going to expand on underground bases, but if you don't know, then...
I do not know, but I know there's underground bases all over the place. There's one out here in Bergstrom under the Hilton Hotel. It used to be the SAC command base. It's connected to railways all over the United States.
Okay, so you don't know.
I do not know specifically. If you send me some information on that, Alan, I'll try to dig it up for you. Thank you so much. Okay, let's go ahead and talk to Seth in California. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, what's happening, Alex? How you doing, man?
Good, sir. Welcome.
I called last week and got to listen to Serpico, and it was an amazing interview. I just wanted to let you know, did my first donation ever to a presidential campaign for Ron Paul.
Great.
On his birthday. Super pumped, man. Everyone I talk to wants to vote for him. Unfortunately, the people watching TV don't think he can win, so I just keep putting the message out there.
Well, you've got to love it how the media always says, well, he wins all these online polls, even scientific ones, but the internet's not the real world. Well, no, it just so happens to be statistically a higher educated, more informed population. That's well known, just in any marketing study you look at. But now he's winning first, second, or third place in every scientific poll. Most of them second place, some first place, a few third place. He's winning. Most of the straw polls are coming in statistical ties with Bachman. And they just keep parroting he can't win. In fact, I have an article here today. Gallup has another one out. Ron Paul now polls almost at dead heat with Obama, outstripping the other Republican candidates. I mean, Ron Paul is dominating. He is. If you had to pick one person, if you had to pick one person who is the real front runner, it's Ron Paul. And then when they do analysis of him against Obama, he does the best, because there are some liberals who are really progressives, who do really want to end war and end torture, and who do want states' rights, and who do want freedom. You know, Thomas Jefferson was a liberal. These names all change. You can call me a paleoconservative, a classical liberal. To be a liberal today is not really liberal. To be a mainline conservative is to be like some kind of Nazi, warmongering, lying, torture-loving, gibbering idiots. So all these terms mean nothing. Ron Paul can absolutely dominate. Anything else there, Seth?
No, I think that's about it, man. Thanks for all you do, Alex. You rock.
No, I'm just, listen, we're all in this together, man. I appreciate everybody thanking me, but I would be insane to know what I know and not fight these people. They're not giving us quarter. They don't want to domesticate us. They want to kill us. Okay? We'll be right back with more calls. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Race through your calls, because I've got to get into the news ahead of a special guest joining us, looking at a major central bank actually taking over, or a shareholder in the central bank actually taking over the state of Kentucky. So we'll be looking at that and a lot more with a guest that's joining us coming up, Gatewood Galbraith, very interesting political pundit and analyst. Let's go ahead and go back to your calls. Let's talk to Marcus in Florida. You're on the air, Marcus. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing? I would like all the info warriors to call all the mainstream media networks complaining that we want Ron Paul coverage. Fight the Ron Paul media blackout. Alex, you're my hero. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Boy, you can tell there's a lot of Ron Paul support out there, especially on this show. Let's talk to Bill in New Mexico. Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. It's Bill. I'm here in New Mexico, and I found out about 5 to 6 years ago that there's a place called the Los Lunas Decalogue. And this Los Lunas Decalogue is the only place they found the Ten Commandments written in the script of Moses. And that's fine all. Wikipedia has their little thing, nothing to see here. But what's actually located there is an Israelite tabernacle site that dates to a solar eclipse in 759 B.C., actually September 27th, 759 B.C. And this all goes to, like, 4 years of research right up until I found out about you and your offshore cartels. What I was researching was this false god idea. Why was it just idols that they were worshiping? And it turned out that it wasn't. They actually had priests who packed and shipped all the goods of the Phoenicians. So these were corporations of their age.
Well, I know that the New World Order law is the trade law of the Phoenicians. I know about that. The other stuff kind of confuses me, but I mean, I know that a lot of the globalists are into the occult. A lot of politicians are obsessed with numerology and are very superstitious. I mean, that's been confirmed in every age and every society for whatever reason.
Yes, and none of them are actually toting this mountain. No one totes this mountain. Matter of fact, it sits barren with the only place on earth that the Ten Commandments is written in stone. And it's written there, what, like 100 years before Torah law, before the Exodus of Babylon. So,
well, I didn't know that the Ten Commandments were carved in stone pre-Moses.
After Moses.
All right, well, send me some information because, again, I'm not saying it's an off-the-wall issue. I understand some of it, but again, I'm not the omnipresent here that is aware of everything. Please send me some information on that. Guys, start getting the video ready of this article. Congressman has cops confiscate cameras. I want to get that video ready. Again, the headline is Cops Confiscate Cameras at Ohio Congressman's Town Hall. Roger on that. Fantastic. Okay, I'm going to get to the news here in a moment, but let's continue with your phone calls. Let's go ahead and talk to Sean in Tennessee. Welcome.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to point out two things real quick. I said this back to my cousin about 3 years ago. I never thought that Obama and his little clan there was ever going to lay his power down. I think the reason they're poking is they're hoping that we'll rebel, so it gives them an excuse to go ahead and bring in full power. And I think that if Ron Paul actually gets close to getting the nomination, I think that they may actually instigate something to go ahead and control us or to go ahead and take full dictatorship. Do you think you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think, Sean, what you're saying has a lot of truth to it. Everything the system's doing now is trying to outrage people, trying to make people angry. And I remember 3 years ago getting the MIAC and Homeland Security reports where they're teaching police the number one threat is returning veterans, that the veterans are evil and that they support the Constitution and actually, you know, says they talk about the Constitution. They're pro-Second Amendment and they're the number one terror threat. And they taught police in every city, veterans will attack you. It's not a question of if, but when. Veterans are going to kill you. And I'm like, man, that is bold to switch from Al-Qaeda to the veterans. And it's bold to actually use Al-Qaeda against Gaddafi. And it's bold to bar the first responders from the 10th anniversary. And if you're a new listener, I know that sounds like a lie. Fox News, AP, CNN. Again, I was on a syndicated show this morning, and they didn't believe me at first. And I don't blame them. When I saw this on Monday, I saw we had a link to CNN on Infowars.com, and I clicked it. And I was like, am I reading that? So then I went to the government press release about it. And this is what tyrants do. I mean, they just get crazier and crazier and crazier. But they're crazy like a fox. They're trying to break our will for the general public, but also make a lot of people go over the edge. And then they won't have to provocateur. I mean, I can't tell you, folks, how many 75-year-old veterans there are who serve 25 years, you know, 23 years in the Army or whatever, and they take their pension away. They're going to get angry. And then when their house is getting repossessed and the sheriff comes with the deputies to take their home, it is not going to be pretty. How about the sheriff just doesn't take the house? How about we say, you know what? Give us the $28 trillion back or $27 trillion back we've given you foreign banks that more than pays for all the delinquent mortgages seven times over, pays for all the mortgages in the U.S. almost twice, not just delinquent, but all of them. How about you just give us our tax money back, and then we'll talk about taking Grandpa's house? So you've absolutely hit on something here, Sean.
Is it all right if I bring up one more thing real quick?
Of course, go ahead.
I was actually in law enforcement for right at 10 years. I've been out of it for about 6 years, and you touch on that a lot. And I just wanted to kind of give you a little bit, I'm no expert, but a little bit of an insight on how they think it's like anything. I think that when you get anything with power or anything with control like that, it's easy to get compartmentalized and idolatrous in it. Something I even had to wrestle with my first 2 years. When you have the power to seize people's movement and take control of them, that's a lot of power, whether they think about it or not. And I think that it's easy to get locked into that, and it becomes kind of cultic, and where they protect each other. It's just kind of like a, I don't know, I don't want to say boys club, but it's just very idolatrous.
Well, no, it's the largest street gang on earth.
There's a lot of great guys in it, though. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of great guys, but just the few that are in it that make it horrible for everybody else because they're so visual that it's just overbearing to the guys that are in it because they actually care. And you'll find a lot of guys that are in it because they care.
Sure.
End up getting out of it.
Well, what's happening is that there's mob psychology in any group. I've caught myself leading a demonstration or at a demonstration, and I actually go wild. And that's the same thing that happens with police in a group where they just attack peaceful demonstrators, because we have that animal side to us like a bunch of wolves. And that's why even the best militaries get out of control. That's why George Washington, you know, would hang someone for looting. The British, it was just, oh, go do it and bring me part of the loot. George Washington was marveled at around the world that, ooh, he actually hangs people if they loot, because he knew that if he let it get out of control, he even wrote that they would lose the hearts and minds of the people. It wasn't just that he was extremely moral and upstanding. He knew they had to be absolutely upright, and that the British were engaging in looting and atrocities, and that that was helping the cause of liberty. And so the larger problem with police, from studying it, studying criminology and history, is that they've now, even if you have good leadership, you're going to have problems. When you get corrupt politicians in control of police departments, you become a third world country. Anything else?
Yeah, I was just going to, one more thing. A bully will smack you across the face as many times as we let them. So if we don't stand up soon, we're not going to have another cheek to turn.
Well, how do you suggest we stand up then? I'm just trying to wake people up. I'm saying noncompliance, expose the central banks. It does look like they might indict the head of Goldman Sachs. He's retained the Enron lawyers. I mean, they've committed the crimes. I mean, the ruling class that did all this, that runs this, are openly criminals. So, I mean, how do we stand up against them without being violent?
We're running out of room. It's sad, and I hope it never has to come to those kind of things. But it would take so many people waking up so quickly to make such an uproar that they would have to back down out of fear of the people not being violent necessarily, but putting them in prison, taking down their industries and their towers of power. I mean, it's just going to take a lot of people waking up, and I just promise you, I hope that Ron Paul is able to wake enough people up, and you and people like you, and if we don't, I don't know. I hope it never comes to that, but either that or there's not going to be a republic left.
Well, the Republic is cold and dead on the gurney. We've been dead about 5 minutes politically. We might be able to shock the heart back into motion, but but we can always reinstate the Republic. You know, it basically rises again because it's an idea, and it lives in us, my friend. God bless you. I appreciate your call, Sean, in Tennessee. It's just every time I think about it, I get chills. I was jogging this morning. It's like I'm a menopausal woman or something. I mean, my whole life, I've had a bad feeling, and every time it's right, I get up and somebody's breaking in my car outside, even though I didn't hear a noise. Or something tells me, don't walk into the field house. And then I go, oh, I'm going to go ahead and walk in. And then somebody's cousin, you know, who I got in a fight with, you know, blindsides me and breaks my nose. And I'm like, wow, should have listened to that. My whole life, I have this chill I get. And I don't get it watching horror movies. I don't get it. No, I only get the chill when like deep down my body, my soul is saying, man, this is, and now I'm getting chills 50 times a day. Something bad's about to happen. I'm telling you, folks, it's going to be bad. Like nothing we've ever seen. It could be suitcase nukes. It could be anything. But I'm telling you, I'm getting chills all the time now. Chills, 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 chills. And it might just be grief for this country, but just watching the lawlessness of the government and knowing that they're getting away with it, well, they're going to just do more. See, that's what happens with tyranny. Once it's hard to get it rolling, but once it starts rolling, it's hard to stop. In fact, it just starts speeding up. And I'd say tyranny's going about 100 miles an hour right now, and this thing can go about 10,000 miles an hour. And it just starts going faster and faster and faster and faster. And, you know, I talk about the chill. It's like more than an adrenaline rush. Have you ever seen a child walk out into a busy street and you see a big truck coming? I know I've seen this a couple times. We've all seen it in movies and have that same feeling. But have you ever been in a parking lot and have your toddler run out behind you and a car's going 10 miles an hour and you have that feeling, not even of adrenaline, but more of just like you get chills. Like my whole world is about to be run over. And it's a feeling of wanting at my deepest level, and I know you want this as well, to have things get better, to turn it back, to just reverse the evil. But you know what? I guess this is what has to happen. Every time I get really upset about this, I realize that we lied to ourselves. We let ourselves give into corruption, all of us. I mean, at the time of Roe v. Wade, around half the country thought that abortion was a good thing. Now it's about 30%. So we're winning that moral fight. It took time. But 51 to 52 million babies are dead. And people don't like it when I talk about abortion. I've had so many radio stations over the years say, you talk about it one more time, you're not going to be on our radio station. Well, I mean, what, you think I would be complicit in the death of children to be on the radio? You think I would sell my soul out? I'm not a good person, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not a bad person. The point is, I know I'm not perfect. It's not special that I don't want to join with evil. And that's why we're in so much trouble. People are like, oh, Alex, you have such courage to stand up against these people. Oh, Alex, what am I supposed to do? This is self-preservation, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you understand? You can't make a deal with evil. You can't invite it into your house. Oh, it's slick. It knows how to smile at you. It's got the sparkle in its eye, like Rick Perry. But at the end of the day, it's a predator that enjoys conning people. Stop being willful chumps. The tyranny is now blazing obvious, and it's going to get worse. You think the tyranny looks scary now at 100 yards away because it's like it's a flaming dragon of evil? Wait till it starts getting close and starts burning your skin because it's coming at us. I told you that light far off was a big flaming corruption coming our way. People all know it's not. Now it's up close. People are going, oh, that does, what? Ooh, yeah, exactly. So, once this stuff really goes hot, once this stuff really triggers, once this stuff kicks off and the globalists institute a civil war in this country and terror attacks and bedlam and secret arrest and all the rest of the stuff that comes with it, there's not going to be putting a genie back in the bottle. There's not going to be a turning it around. Okay? We got to turn this around right now. And just what that former police officer just said, they want it to get violent. We have got to stop that from happening because they are going to use that to have a crackdown in this country against everybody. And then it's going to get even more violent. The globalists don't care. They're sitting it out, watching it. They're not in the arena. Let's go to Justin in Rhode Island. You're on the air. Welcome.
How are you?
Good, buddy.
How are you doing, Alex? 2 months listener, first time caller. A lot of things I've noticed been going on around my area, you know, just adding up to everything that you're saying. I see people all the time refusing to buy bottled water, drinking from the tap. The earthquake yesterday. As soon as I felt it, I knew it was hard. I knew there was government involvement in that. That was undeniable. I don't know what else to say. I mean, really, I just wanted to get my point across with that.
Well, I know this, and I haven't even gotten to that yet. Some days I just pontificate. Other days I do nothing but cover news. Other days just guest or calls. But today's one of those days where I just wanted to really talk to people from the heart. I always talk from the heart, but I have to control it or it just turns into a quagmire. But they are reporting it's extremely rare, a once-in-a-century event, and that it happened in an area where there's not tectonic plates going together. And that's in the Washington Post. After our guest leaves us, Gatewood Galbraith, we'll continue with your calls and get to this video, and I'll give radio listeners a play-by-play. Cops confiscate cameras at Ohio Congressman's town hall. It's a public event. They invite people. And then they have the police confiscate the video cameras to, quote, protect the constituents. A local TV station, however, was allowed to videotape the meeting, and the brazen move by Chabot and the cops. Wow, this is really crazy, but I see this stuff all the time. Police chief stands up. You're fired, mayor. No one's allowed to speak. I rule. I mean, just bizarreness. And people roll over to it. And so they get more. People ask, what is tyranny? It's just when you give in to corruption, it runs wild. So, and I'm going to stop ranting. Let's go to Vanessa in Idaho. Welcome, Vanessa. Hey, welcome.
Hi. Long-time listener, first-time caller here.
Welcome.
I'm hoping my kids will be quiet so I can make my point here real quick. I woke up about 3 or 4 years ago, and I was just really amazed at the correlations between what I was learning and what was foreseen by prophets 2,000 years ago in a book called The Book of Mormon. Have you heard of it?
Well, I have heard of the Book of Mormon, and I think I've scanned through it once or twice, but I mean, I don't really generally have a religious-style show, because then it just turns into folks, you know, debating this view or that view. Even within Christianity, you know, there's lots of groups all saying that they're the one way to go. I just have a personal relationship with Christ, and so that's basically where I stand, but give us your view.
I know mainstream scholars, and they try to discredit and ignore it, but I'm just hoping I can just read a quick verse of scripture. It's just a warning from a prophet named Moroni for people our day in this country, and he says, "Wherefore, the Lord commandeth you, When you shall see these things come among you, you shall awake to a sense of your awful situation because of this secret combination which shall be among you. For it cometh to pass that whoso buildeth it up seeketh to overthrow the freedom of all lands, nations, countries, and it bringeth to pass the destruction of all people, for it is built up by the devil, who is the father of all lies.
Yeah, don't Mormons call that conspiracies? They call it a secret combination?
Well, that's what the people in the Book of Mormon, their civilization was overthrown by secret combinations, and their book is written to warn us that if we don't stand up and awake, that the same thing's going to happen to us. And it's just full of these warnings. There's a great video on YouTube called Awful Situation, Secret Combinations Above Us, and it gives a lot of those.
Well, I know that you call them conspiracies, call them secret combinations. They certainly exist throughout history. I appreciate your call. Good to hear from you, Vanessa. Let's talk to John in Australia, the land down under. Welcome, John.
Holy smokes, I made it through.
An American in Australia. What's on your mind?
You got it right. Yeah, listen, I just want to kind of tell all your callers out there that, well, you're right. I've been here in Australia now for about 2 years. And, you know, we left originally, my wife and I left originally, just because we got really sick of, you know, hearing about terrorism and whatnot. And, you know, just ever since 9/11, everything's been pretty much downhill. And, you know, the media just has it.
What am I right about, real quick, and then I'll hold you over?
Well, sorry, just that you're right about how the media is telling you know, all these lies and whatnot.
Well, you're saying from your perspective from Australia, it's really become cartoonish to watch it from afar?
Absolutely. And
stay there. Stay there. We're going to come right back. The guest is in 30 minutes.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, I've hit a smattering of some of the top news, but I'm going through all of it coming up the next segment, then back into your calls. And we have a guest joining us to break down the bankster criminal activity. The Daily Beast asks, could Blank Fine face prison? And I've also got mainstream articles saying that he's gotten the big criminal defense lawyer that represented Enron. And the word is that Lloyd Blankfein might actually get indicted. Now, I would start having faith in America again. It would be a good sign if this guy got indicted. So I'm going to tell you more about that coming up. That is very exciting. Oh, man, that guy is such a crook. Okay, I was talking to John in Australia, and John was bringing up that when you don't watch Fox News or CNN often, I mean, I watch little clips people send me of key things. Like, oh, here's a clip from Meet the Press where Greenspan is saying, we'll just print money. We'll never default, which is another way to default is to print money. It's so ridiculous how dumb he thinks the public is. And I guess they are dumb to a certain extent that he got away with it. He did get laughed at by the host, and the other globalists were like really smiling and holding back laughter, but it was more embarrassed laughter. But when you don't watch it regularly and you sit back and watch sitcoms, dramas, news, because there's even more propaganda in sitcoms and dramas. When you sit back and watch it, it is just laced with cartoon-level propaganda. I mean, if I was going to make a science fiction movie about a futuristic, ridiculous, absurdist police state, you could pretty much just show them what's on TV now. Though I did actually watch some TV this weekend. The Science Channel, because I finally got a high-def television. I don't watch a lot of, I mean, we usually when I'm on the national news, my wife wants to watch it or something, we've got to spend an hour trying to hook it up. But we've got, we live in the country now, so we have Dish Network. And man, their high-def channel, I don't know how they're compressing it, but on that TV, it was like reaching into the screen on the Science Channel, talking about the universe and how it was created and the graphics. It was just amazing. So there is some good stuff on television. And I actually watched like three or four programs and wasn't brainwashed or told how evil the Second Amendment was or anything. Wow, there is some hope, but Going back to John in Australia, finish your point about that, my friend.
Yes, the point I was going to make is that I just want all your listeners today just to hear that you in the United States are living in an absolute media bubble. You are basically spoon-fed what you are meant to hear, and that's it in a nutshell. And I got to tell you, the people here in Australia are pretty wise to what's going on. You know, they're trying to pass this carbon tax here. And, you know, we see a little bit on the news, but it's almost laughable. You know, people are asking, well, what do we need this for? And just people know what's going on.
They've tried three separate times, and it keeps bringing down the governments. And then the next government does it because they've got orders, even though it politically destroys them. And the Aussies are starting to really get woken up and get angry, and that's good news.
Listen, they were. As soon as I first got here, they're all asking me, hey, is 9/11 a conspiracy? What do you think? You know, and I'm just like, you know, at that point, I my point on it was, well, I didn't have all the answers. I don't know that any of us are going to really have all the answers. But, you know, it's kind of the old adage of if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, well, then it's probably a duck. So, you know, thankfully you're tuning everybody into really what's going on here.
All you got to tell Aussies is this. I've seen the numbers. They're being blocked from having new coal power plants, but China gets to have three a week. Now, is that fair?
Is the coal power plants here, you know, they're trying to pass this whole carbon tax. And, of course, Australia has some of the dirtiest coal plants around. They're inefficient.
Yeah, they need to just upgrade them. All right, I appreciate your call. You know, coal's not perfect, but it is 51% of U.S. power. And you think our economy's in the toilet now.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The level of corruption is nothing less than staggering. We have seen the core leadership of the rebels, admittedly being Al-Qaeda, that has killed U.S. troops. The L.A. Times, Reuters, others have admitted it. It's now admitted that for 6 months, notice Obama said that he could launch the war with U.N. approval, doesn't need any stinking Congress. Badges? We don't need no stinking badges. Congress? We don't need no stinking Congress. That they launched that attack 6 months ago. That was in Reuters this morning. That 6 months ago, the West began aiding rebels. The rebels hadn't even attacked yet 6 months ago. They trained them. It turns out NATO a year ago did drills of bombing different cities. The West went in, funded violent terrorist Al-Qaeda groups to attack Libya and to take the country. And they've shipped arms into them from the beginning, from before the start of conflict, and now it is admitted in Reuters. I was reading today, and there it was. In Reuters, it said the six-month campaign and that they'd been aiding them from the beginning. For months and months, they denied this, even though it leaked out in the foreign press. I mean, they just lie and lie and lie. And then these rebel commanders are in the news shooting their mouths off about, yes, I have killed Americans in Iraq, and I will kill more again. But first, I will kill Gaddafi. What? I mean, I'm living in the Twilight Zone here. And so Gaddafi, 42 years in power, is now saying that he's going to fight on till the end. He will either die as a martyr or be victorious against the dogs and devils, to quote him, that have taken over, quote, his country. And the issue is he was clearly a benevolent dictator. I don't like dictators. I don't like centralized systems. But every once in a while, you get a guy who wants to build up the country and build up the continent, and most of the money actually was spent on the people, and the bureaucracy was very, very small, and the women got tuition to go to college, and everybody got thousands of dollars of stipend every year, and automobiles and houses and apartment buildings built everywhere. And the globalists looked at that and they said, this ain't happening. Especially when Gaddafi went to the rest of Africa and said, let's make our own currency, let's create our own credit-backed currency, really the American system. And the bankers said, uh-uh. And Gaddafi even tried to invest with the globalists. He tried to make deals with them 7 years ago. And they went in and hired al-Qaeda to attack, called them rebels, called them protesters, and have now taken Tripoli. And Gaddafi's hiding in his underground labyrinth that he's built in 40-plus years of knowing that this time was coming. And the civil war is now beginning. And he's called on the different tribes that are loyal to him to fight incessantly. And if you study the fascists when they went into Libya, out of Italy, under the leader of Italy at the time, the dictator Benito Mussolini, El Duce, or whatever you call him, they fought him for a decade. And if you look at the monarch the British installed, constant fighting. So you were told this was being done for humanitarian reasons. That country is now going to descend back into the sand from which it came. And good old boys seem to think that they get ahead by going, glass parking lot them. Glass parking lot them. They're just people like us that want a future. And this does not send a very good message to the world that Gaddafi tried to, quote, work with the West and got double-crossed. And now they're going to put Sharia law in. That was reported yesterday. So the women that thought they were going to run around and drive cars and be doctors, you are going home and you're going to put a bag over your head. And that's the end of that. And that's victory because they do not want, the establishment does not want the Middle East and North Africa or any other country for that matter or region to rise up, to build itself up. And they do not want countries that are upwardly mobile. And so they have been bombed into the Stone Age. And they will be kept there. And the more people get killed, the better for the globalist. They could care less about U.S. troops or mercenaries that die. And they sure could care less about the Libyan people. And so this is a huge humanitarian bloodbath in the name of peace by our peace laureate. Gaddafi has fled Tripoli, headquarters ransacked by rebels. That is confirmed that they've taken over one of his bases and are now in tunnel battles all under the country trying to find out where Gaddafi is. And Gaddafi is, you can say whatever you want about him, he is a fighter. He knows that when they kill him, he's going to be a martyr. So they're going to try to not kill him. But Gaddafi is probably going to go out shooting. They've put a big price on his head, too, trying to get his inner circle to turn against him. So, very disgusting what's going on there. In some of the other news, it's been confirmed that the Green Square video that you were shown 3 days ago, the rebels occupying it, was fake and was shot in another country. But it worked. The Libyans saw that and thought, oh, the city's been taken. And the special forces that were inserted, creating havoc, were able to create enough fear to get Gaddafi's forces to basically run around on a wild goose chase looking for him long enough for the rebels to converge and start destroying government buildings and basically panic and rout Gaddafi's forces. So they just kept trying the same psyop over and over again until it worked. Now, here's the big issue of the day, and I really should have opened the show with this. I think I mentioned it, but I should probably shoot a special report on this alone because this is the threat I've seen from the beginning. They corner Gaddafi. He could really activate some previously paid off sleeper cells, similar to the sleeper cells that attacked in Tripoli and linked up with the flotilla that came in the night with the Arab al-Qaeda fighters backed by British SAS, French commandos, U.S. commandos. They could activate real sleeper cells in the West, blow some stuff up, which is basically giving the globalist, if Gaddafi does that, a big present. Which makes me think that's why Gaddafi hasn't launched nerve gas or hasn't attacked Europe, as he threatened to do, because then that will only legitimize some of this. So they'll probably do it. I guarantee you, they're looking at staging stuff. I don't know if they're going to pull the trigger and blaming it on Gaddafi to then legitimize it. Well, see, he's a terrorist. He blew up a school bus. If Gaddafi was really going to do things, he'd have sleeper cells to target politicians here. You know, sleeper cells that would wait, say, a year or go after certain bankers or certain oil company heads. But the truth is most of these countries don't really have terror forces. They don't have special forces. They don't have sleeper cells. That's America that has that, because we're not America. We're run by the bankers. And they have sleeper cells, blow stuff up, and blame it on whoever they want to invade next. So the truth is you never know who's really staging these things. You sure know who's got scripts out in minutes, though, to capitalize on these events, don't you? Yep, our whore media. Nuclear expert warns of Libya dirty bomb. Ooh, dirty bomb. They're going to get you. A research center near Tripoli has stocks of nuclear material that could be used to make a dirty bomb, a former senior UN inspector said on Wednesday, warning of possible looting during turmoil in Libya. Oh, yeah, that's the other narrative. Al-Qaeda, that's the good Al-Qaeda. There's bad Al-Qaeda, and our media says then there's loving good Al-Qaeda. Now, loving good Al-Qaeda is real Al-Qaeda that's actually killed U.S. soldiers in Iraq. Then there's the bad fairy tale Al-Qaeda that supposedly carries out the terror attacks. But they're saying that the bad Al-Qaeda might get the fissile material that a CIA officer was caught 4 months ago trying to give to the Pakistani Al-Qaeda. But the ISA stopped them before they could do that frame up. And so now they're saying that somebody could get it and dirty bomb us. And then they'll tell us that it came from Libya and Muammar Gaddafi and Al-Qaeda, because he works with Al-Qaeda, don't you know? He was the guy to first put out an Interpol arrest warrant for him in 96, and then they tried to have Al-Qaeda assassinate him. That's all confirmed, but see, he's Al-Qaeda. That's why Al-Qaeda just took over the country, because they're fighting who they work for, Muammar Gaddafi, because the television said so. Seeking to mend ties with the West, Libyans Muammar Gaddafi agreed in 2003 to abandon efforts to acquire nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons, a move that brought him in from the cold and helped end decades of Libyan isolation. And the setup, you know, Gaddafi really sold out to the globalists before he kept most of the wealth and gave it to the population and kept some for himself. In the last 8 years, he did start giving it to the bankers. And you see how they repaid him. Just like they're going to repay all you U.S. military people by taking your pension funds. Same thing for you mercenaries. But hey. So they're now saying Al-Qaeda, Libya, you're going to get us. But we're like, but Al-Qaeda is the group you brought in. Well, still.
Hey, Brian, if you could do just one thing today to ensure your family's food security, what would it be?
DrudgeReport.com on the right-hand side. Cops confiscate cameras at Ohio congressman's town hall. And I see these type of videos all the time now. It's just becoming mainstream. You have a public meeting town hall, people want to videotape it, and the congressman, who's supposedly a public servant, doesn't want it seen, so he tells cops to take cameras away from people, and then we've got video. In fact, you can roll it behind me while I talk, because the audio isn't very good, of them then wrestling a camera away from a middle-aged woman, an older lady. I mean, this is insane. But then they leave the mainstream news camera there. You know, they're allowed to. It's only low-level slaves, like old ladies. She looks like she's probably 65, 70. She's not allowed to have it, and so she's got to get grabbed here and have her camera taken. A congressman from Ohio had cops grab the camera of constituents during a town hall meeting. What type of arrogant lunatic is this guy? I mean, does he understand just the ridiculous PR nature of this? Steve Chabot, a Republican, had cell phones and cameras confiscated in order to prevent an embarrassing YouTube from making the rounds, according to Carlos Miller, who runs a blog documenting efforts by the state to stifle the First Amendment rights of photographers. Yeah, I've had cops many times, I'll be like 200 yards away videotaping a checkpoint or something, and they'll walk over and go, "Excuse me, what are you doing here?" And I go, "I'm just videotaping this." "Well, who are you?" "Well, I'm Alex Jones, Independent News." "Well, let me see your ID." "Now, hold on just a minute. I'll show it to you, even though it's not the law, failure to ID. The courts have ruled it. I don't care if you got a law here in this town. You know it's been thrown out." And by then the cops are going, "Well, this guy can talk. I'm going to stand back." Because I'm nice to him. I'm calm. Sometimes I'll say, "Hey, how you doing, buddy?" And then sometimes they'll still say, "Well, I don't want you videotaping." And I'll say, "Am I interfering with you?" And if they say yes, I go, "At 200 yards away, I'm interfering." And I'll say, "All right. How far would you like me to back off?" Just to illustrate how absurd. And they'll say, "Down there at that corner." And one time, this happened when the guys were down there videotaping at the IRS. They had to move back like 300 yards, and then more cops came and said, "Move back even more." Because at the end of the day, I'm not trying to get arrested. Now, sometimes if I've got a tape, I'll say, and this is on tape, I'll say, "Nope, go ahead and arrest me. I'm not interfering with what you're doing." Especially when it's our demonstration and the cops show up and say, "You can't videotape." I just say, "Look, this isn't a third world country. Do you want your kids to grow up in a third world country where they don't have a right to stand on a street corner with a video camera?" And the cop will say, "Look, I've been ordered to tell you to go." "Well, call your boss over here." And then I remember once at a Rick Perry demonstration, here comes the boss. "Yeah, you don't have a permit to demonstrate." And I said, "The city of Austin's lost scores of lawsuits over this. Do you want a new lawsuit? I don't want to sue you, but I'm going to sue you personally as well. Don't violate my First Amendment." I go, "Officer, I know the law. If I wanted to block a road for a demonstration, then I'd have to get a permit because you'd have to provide a roadblock." And he goes, "Nevertheless, I'm going to arrest you." I go, "Go ahead then, pal." And the cops backed off and didn't. I mean, what is wrong with you people, man? These are your rights too, okay? Every time you butcher somebody else's rights, every time you run over somebody's liberties, you trample your own. And this cop at a public town hall in some college gymnasium is just, I can't believe that because a congressman told him to not videotape. And I guess what happened is some union or something showed up. And so because he didn't like the fact, because they're all wearing the same shirt, I'm guessing at who this group is, but reportedly they were peaceful, that oh, look, there's a new Drudge Report headline. Perry zooms into the lead. Surprise, surprise. Alex, he's not going to run for president. He's pledged. You don't have sources. Shut up, liar. Okay, he's running, but stop saying, you know, he's a Bilderberg guy and he's going to be in the lead. That's made up. Oh, really? Rick Perry zooms into the lead. Yeah, because he's getting all the media attention. Rick Perry, Mr. Forced Inoculation, Mr. Napa Superhighway, Mr. New World Order Bilderberg.
You don't need me to tell you that humanity is in a deep crisis. Everyone can feel it. We know a tectonic struggle is now taking place against the forces of freedom and those who love darkness, bondage, and enslavement. Yes, my friends, evil is rising. But take heart. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Recently, New World Order operative Hillary Clinton admitted they're losing the info war.
We are in an information war, and we are losing that war.
The globalists are scared. They've overreached. The future of the info war is in your hands. Join PrisonPlanet.tv. Download the thousands of special video reports, ebooks, and more, and get them out to everyone you know. Continue to spread the word about the broadcast on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and every other globalist propaganda platform. We are going to use their system against them. The info war now goes into high gear. No one can deny that our republic, in fact, our entire world, is at a historic crossroads right now. We work very hard here at Infowars.com to bring you the news and latest information in the fight for liberty worldwide. And because our message is resonating across the world, because we've already had such a huge effect, we know that it is our responsibility to intensify our resistance against the globalist 110%. I am going to do whatever I can to up our game in the fight against tyrants to reach even more people. I am asking you to join us and to be part of our fight and to support the work we're doing at PrisonPlanet.tv and to spread the word, not just about the weeknight 30-minute condensed, focused, hard-hitting newscast, but special reports we're going to do multiple times a week. I am so excited about this. And I hope that you share our excitement and that you will help us get the word out about PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars Nightly News, and InfoWars Special Reports at 7 p.m. Central every weeknight. But whatever you do, spread the message that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Free humanity is rising against tyranny.
From the front lines of the information war,
it's Alex Jones.
That's right. We're going to have special reports on a routine basis that are extended and in-depth. We're having one tomorrow night on a host of issues at 7 p.m. Central at PrisonPlanet.tv. But starting next Thursday, five nights a week, 7 p.m. Central, 30-minute hard-hitting transmission. And a lot of nights it will continue. We'll air premiere documentaries, special reports, live in-depth interviews. We're going to the next level because we're reaching so many millions of people a week through the films, through the radio show. We are, tomorrow's network 10 years ago. And so we're being imitated a lot, and that's fine. That's the most sincere form of flattery. And so we are going to expand our operations 110% thanks to your support. So please become a PrisonPlanet.tv member today. And we're going to launch a whole new news site very soon that will have everything that's on PrisonPlanet.tv and more. And if you're a member there, you'll automatically become a member on the other site. So become a member today. But by next Tuesday, I'm going to launch a bunch of new features. We've got to go with that deadline. A bunch of new features at PrisonPlanet.tv, and I will announce that next Tuesday. I would have already announced it, but my main programmer's dad died, and he just got back to town today. And so we're a couple weeks behind. I could already launch it, but I need him here when I do it, in case there's any bugs. So that said, if you believe what we're doing, become a PrisonPlanet.tv member today. Perry zooms to the front of the pack for 2012 GOP nomination. And remember, I told you that his pledge was fake not to run. I told you he would run. I've even told you the plan. Sarah Palin's going to wait. She's going to get in later. Then they're going to be number one and number two, and she's going to join him as the vice presidential candidate. Now, I told you this 14 months ago. They may change the plan, but so far they're following it with precision. Now, Ron Paul has been number one, number two, or number three in every straw poll and every scientific poll. He's number three right now in this new Gallup poll that's on Infowars.com. It's also the top story on Drudge right now, DrudgeReport.com. And Ron Paul is number three behind Mitt Romney and Rick Perry, two truly fake people. You think Obama's fake? These guys are just as fake or worse, especially Rick Perry. I mean, Rick Perry is, and Mitt Romney is mooey bad. But, I mean, Rick Perry is Beelzebub. And I was talking to my friends. I mean, they're like, they may vote for Obama if Rick Perry actually gets the lead. Look, it's all bad. You can't vote for either one of these guys. And they just keep trying to demonize Ron Paul so that he can't win. We've just got to expose this hoax. But he is no doubt number two or number three right now. He was number one, but Rick Perry came in to say, get rid of the Federal Reserve, destroy the New World Order. And a lot of people that just woke up, a lot of folks we've woken up, said, well, he's the younger Ron Paul. Let's go with him. You're being betrayed. Don't get in the car with that man, little boy, little girl. Now, for the balance of the hour, maybe a little bit into overdrive, if he'll do it with us, is somebody who I've heard a lot about. I know Willie Nelson said, you know my buddy Gatewood Galbraith? I'm like, no, Willie, but I've certainly heard of him. And to go over this whole guy's history, he's an author, you know, political analyst, all-around rabble-rouser. And I know he, well, he's got a couple different publications out there. And he's also got a book out that I think says it all. And I'll probably just let Gatewood you know, describe for folks who he is and what his political views are for folks that may not know who he is. But he wrote The Last Free Man in America Meets the Synthetic Subversion. And I like that term. And so it is good to have Gatewood Galbraith join us from Kentucky. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you very much, Alex. It's a pleasure. And I listen to you every chance I get on my computer. And I want to thank you for the great work that you're doing and getting the message out there.
Wow, I didn't know you were a listener. Well, thank you, sir. We've got to have you up for a full hour in the near future because I really enjoy so many of your ideas and views. Did you ever think it could get this crazy and this bad as it has today? I mean, tell folks about your political awakening and your view of what's going on right now in America.
Well, very briefly, and I did write a book called The Last Free Man, and people can get it on Amazon and all, but I'm not here to sell the book. Very briefly, I was a child of the 60s, 21 years old in 1968. I was barely graduated from high school because I was just different. I was 24 years old, went into the Marines, got discharged from the Marines because of asthma. I didn't know that asthma that marijuana cured asthma. I was 19 years old, and when I was 21, a friend of mine, a doctor, told me to smoke marijuana for my asthma, and bang, it cured it right away. So I became a champion of it and talked about changing the laws. I was 24 years old and a milkman when I decided I was a grist for the mill and going to end up in prison or dead, so I had better learn the system. So I decided to go to college, become an attorney. And while I was going to do that, I was going to become governor of Kentucky and lift Kentucky out of poverty by changing the marijuana laws. So that was in 1971, and I've gotten up every day for the last 40 years to do exactly that. I became an attorney. I have tried to change the marijuana laws, but other states have beat us to it. I was going to try to revitalize Kentucky's economy over it, and it looks like we still may be able to, but I've run for office on various occasions. I ran for commissioner of agriculture in 1983 in the Democratic primary. Ran in 91 and 95 in the Democratic primary. Ran in 1999 as the Reform Party candidate for governor and spent $20,000 and got 15.3% of the vote. Ran for Congress in 2000 and 2002 as the independent, got 27% of the vote as an independent in 2002.
So I think it's fair to say you're best known for being a leading person against the prohibition against hemp.
That was the case, but it's broadened out so much, and that's how they vilified me, and that's how they marginalized me in my past races. But I am a candidate, an independent candidate now, Alex, for governor in this November race. There's only three governor's races this year. I am an independent, and we've already caught up with the Republican in this race.
I saw that in the polls, and that shows how hungry the people are for real, real change. We're going to get into that, but the reason I thought to get you on last week was when I saw this article out of Alternet, And then I went and looked it up and found some local newspaper articles saying that it was basically true. How J.P. Morgan took over all of Kentucky's financial services and why you should be scared. J.P. Morgan is obviously in a lot of trouble. They've been caught selling fraudulent paper. So is Goldman Sachs. The headline is, could blank fine face prison? The Goldman Sachs CEO didn't get a big-time criminal defense lawyer because he's worried about an SEC wrist slap. There's a real possibility of doing time, says former Goldman managing director Nomi Prins. But we see Kentucky, really, with the banksters, the robber barons in there for a long time, as a model for what they've done in other parts of the country. What can you tell us about this report?
Well, it's absolutely true. Chase Bank now owns Kentucky, doing all the financial transactions, cutting all the paychecks and all. But this is just the step of the implementation of the New World Order and global economy. You know, Kentucky has been the victim of free trade, where human beings no longer count as part of the trade relationships. And now that's doing it to us on a domestic basis, where human beings no longer count. But what's happening is that we're being taken over by the people I call the petrochemical, pharmaceutical, military, industrial, transnational, corporate, fascist, elite SOBs. You know, who've never said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America or to the republic for which it stands, and they're not warm and fuzzy about you and me or our children or grandchildren, and they see the Constitution and the Bill of Rights as impediments to the implementation of a new world order and global economy. And, you know, this is just one of those small steps towards that globalization. I ain't going down without a fight, and we're going to use the state of Kentucky to do exactly that. Alex, let me tell you and our listeners, we have a hell of a shot at winning governor of the state of Kentucky as independents with no party affiliation whatsoever. It will be the biggest blow for independence and sovereignty, individual sovereignty that ever happened, because I'm a Barry Goldwater conservative, and I don't listen to Limbaugh and Hannity. I listen to Jefferson and Adams and Washington and Franklin. Those are my advisors in how to get the state of Kentucky out of poverty by trying to rediscover the values that were supposed to make America great and did at one time before they came under such assault.
Absolutely. I mean, if you run on ending banker occupation of Kentucky, it can be the same phenomenon with Rand. No matter how much they demonized him, it backfired on him. And as you were saying, I've seen those polls. That's really got them scared that you've now pulled past the Republican. So you've got a good chance of actually winning this time.
It's unbelievable, brother. I mean, really, the big shift is going to come in the last 10 days. But I said that back when they ran the first poll and we had 5%, I said if we have double figures by May and we have 15 to 20% by September, we're going to win it. We hit 15% of 10 days before September. So, you know, we have a heck of a shot. We need support. Kentucky's a poor state, and we stand for the poor folks, you know. Any of your listeners out there could go to gatewood.com and make a contribution. I understand you may have as many as 3 or 4 or 5 million listeners, Alex.
We do have 5 or 6 over the whole week, but usually at one time there's probably a million people listening conservatively, and then it kind of lives forever on the Internet. Again, what's the best website for folks to visit?
It's gatewood.com. Gatewood.com. And, you know, they can email me at gatewood@gatewood.com. You know, what I'd really like to find, Alex, is what we'd all like to find. I'd like to find a patron, you know, somebody who says, I can put $50,000 into liberating Kentucky, because I'm an attorney, too, and they can always pay me a fee. But
well, listen, tell me this. What would you do as governor of Kentucky?
Okay, here's the thing. Kentucky's dysfunctional right now. Both parties have their horns locked up like two bull elk fighting over territory while the business of the people lays dead in the dust. So what we first got to do is we've got to unlock those horns up there. I want both parties to succeed. I don't want to throw them out. I want them to do what they're supposed to do. We're independent. We don't care who gets credit for doing what's right, just as long as they get the job done. So we're totally nonpartisan. We're going to invite the best intentioned of both parties to come together and finally start addressing some of Kentucky's perennial problems. But the first thing we have to do, Alex, is we've got to return transparency and integrity and trust into the system itself, because there's a lot of good-minded, well-intentioned people who won't even take part in the political process now because it's so mean-spirited and corrupt. We need to get the decent-minded people back involved in the running of the people's affairs. That's number one. Number two, we've got to find jobs and economy in this state. We've got to downsize government. We've got to put less taxes on the part of the people. the corporations have gotten so many tax exemptions in the state of Kentucky that it's the wage earner and the small business that are bearing the brunt of the cost of government.
Well, Gatewood expanding on that and looking at the rest of the country, the same problems that Kentucky has are the same problems that we've got here. And when you look at the fact that General Electric and Google and all these people pay zero or almost zero taxes and exempt themselves, then they have Warren Buffett lecturing people on raising taxes on the rich. But he's really talking about the middle class because the big corporatists get most of that corporate welfare. I mean, that's really the big issue right there.
Huge issue. Kentucky has a thing called the COMBO, the Council for Economic Development, that gives out tax incentives to get jobs to locate here. And in 1993, the head of that said publicly, "I have a plan for every Kentuckian. By the year 2012, 80% of Kentuckians are going to be earning $8 an hour." Well, how do you like it so far? You know, who's going to buy the houses? Who's going to buy the cars? Who's going to start the families? You know, those corporate dividends, fighting in $8 an hour jobs, that's not creating a tax base. We're never going to be able to tax those $8 an hour earners. But what that does, it just puts extra dividends into the pockets of the dividend of these shareholders. And so it is a cannibalism.
Well, that's like J.P. Morgan outsources the unemployment phone banks and the welfare phone banks to India. I mean, if you're going to have welfare, the jobs servicing it by law should be in the United States.
So this, my brother-in-law went through a Wendy's the other day, and he went across a little ding-dong, and the lady took his order, and he got it, and he said, "You sound nice. I'd like to buy you a Frosty." She says, "I'm sorry, you can't." He says, "No, I'd like to." She says, "You can't, sir. I'm in India." I mean, drive-through at Wendy's. You know, they're paying.
Who was hitting on the Wendy's girl?
My brother-in-law was trying to buy her Frosty, but she was in India.
Boy, he's something else. You guys, I tell you, going back to high school and college, that is the quickest way to get a date is just go after the waitress.
Hey, now listen, Alex, I'm at that age where the girl, the mother, and the grandmother all look good to me, so don't be talking about it.
Oh, I'm married, but it's funny. I know, your brother-in-law must be hilarious. Wait a minute, brother-in-law, he's married, and he's talking to the girl with the Frosty. Now, something's going on here. I think you just got him in trouble. He just wanted to be nice to her. Buy her Frosty.
That's it. You know, Kentucky's at a heck of a crossroads, as is America. This election is a microcosm of next year's election. You know, I can feel the tsunami coming on, Alex. I can feel it out there. You know, my demographic right now, and by the way, I have a running mate, a beautiful lady running mate. She's the only woman in the race. But there's three tickets, Democrat, Republican, and us, independent. She's the only woman in the race. She's got six children, two of them adopted. One of her natural children is special needs, so we know where rubber meets the road.
You can go to Gatewood.com and buy her a Frosty. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Something I'll be doing for years, Lord willing. That's the nightly 30-minute TV show. We have a lot of networks and cable systems that want to pick it up, so we're developing it over the next few months for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, expanded reports, you name it, and then also then deploy it onto certain networks, cable systems around the world. Now, we'll obviously have to have him back up to really get into hemp, because he was talking about how he gets pigeonholed with that, but it really is a miracle plant. Most varieties, of course, don't have any THC in it, but those are banned from agricultural development, even though most are sailing ship sails, the ropes, the clothes, until the 30s were made out of it. It was as big a crop as cotton. Canadians can grow it. Russians can grow it. Americans can't. And that doesn't sound too free to me. Does it sound like freedom to you? But going back to our guest, you're right. It is a very exciting snapshot to show how awake the population's getting that you're number two in a three-way race right now in Kentucky. And just like Rand came from behind, I think you can win if people get behind you.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it. When we hit 20%, that's going to be the critical mass. You know, right now there's a lot of well-intentioned people out there who just say, "Well, I'm afraid I'll waste my vote for him because I don't think he can win." But as soon as they see that I'm in second place and then we're closing the gap, then that whole avalanche, that whole critical mass is going to be reached. And this will be the first time, and I think there was somebody in Rhode Island who used to be a U.S. senator who went independent and won governor. But it would be the first legitimate, truly independent governor elected in the United States of America for at least 150 years. And we're going to do it on almost no money. You know, we're going to be outspent in this race. We're going to be outspent about 40 to 50 to 1. And, you know, I'm a criminal defense attorney. It's what I do for a living. And we don't have any special interest. And I put about $100,000 into it. And the other folks have put in maybe $40,000, $50,000. So here we've spent, you know, maybe $140,000. They've already spent millions that we're gaining on them. So, you know, a little bit of money goes a long way when you're telling the truth. And plus, my stock line is, look, folks, I've run before. If I was going to lie to you, I would already have been elected.
How are the Tea Party people liking you? Obviously they are, or you wouldn't be doing so well in the polls.
Well, of course, you know, I spoke at the first three Tea Parties here in Kentucky, and I told them then, I said, don't let the Republicans subsume you. Don't let the Republicans co-opt you. You know, stay strong. That's where your real strength is. So I spoke to the first three of them, and you know, I was introduced as the person to whom Tea Party should apply. So then last year I went to a big rally over in, a lot of other people got into it, started taking it off on their own frolic and detour. But I went to a big one last year, and I walked up to the front, and one of the leaders says, thank you for joining us, Gatewood. And I said, what do you mean, thank you for joining me? Where the hell you been the last 30 years? You know,
oh, I know. It's incredible. What do you think of the media? It's been proven by Pew Research blocking Ron Paul out, and when they do talk about him, demonizing him.
I think that's horrible. I mean, I contributed to him. I wrote him in for president this last time. Ron Paul is the most, whether you agree with him or not, is the most principled person that I have ever seen elected in my lifetime. They demonized him. They boycotted him just the same way they did me. The top two papers in the state wouldn't even print my name for my first four elections. Wouldn't even print my name for the first four elections. You know, because I stood out there, I wanted to return hemp as a cash crop to our farmers, and I wanted to get medical marijuana in the hands of all the sick and dying people. You know, 30 years ago, that was, I mean, consider coming out with that 30 years ago, you know. That's
absolutely, but think if Kentucky would have been the first to do that. You could have then sold it all over the world. The cotton, you know, the hemp cotton, all of it, that really would have turbocharged Kentucky.
Well, Alex, you know, we ought to get on and talk about hemp as petroleum, because that's what hemp is. Hemp is petroleum. You get 20 barrels of petroleum off an acre of hemp. Its real value is in biofuel, and if we planted 7% of the U.S. agricultural land in hemp, we wouldn't have to import another drop of oil.
And as you know, hemp grows where other stuff won't. Gatewood Galbraith, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you all back tomorrow live, 11 a.m. Central.